do you guys like pop culture happenings? You want to keep up on all the nerdy news? Then you're in the right place. I'm Troy Stegner. This is Zia Comics Talk Nerdy to Me. And I am going to show you all the stuff going on in nerdy news today. Let me minimize myself to the corner. As always, that psychedelic looking thing there. Okay. First thing up, Klaus and the Crying Snowman, number one. If you haven't been reading, Grant Morrison did a couple of different Klaus miniseries based on Santa Claus and how basically his origin story, how he became Santa Claus. Grant Morrison's Klaus is a lot bloodier than the dude in red, well, you know, giving presents and saying ho, ho, ho. This guy is, he's pretty badass. And this is the newest one, Klaus and the Crying Snowman. As you can see, the snowman is basically an absentee dad. He's going to try to defeat him before he melts away and is gone forever. So, the Boom Studios has been doing really well with Klaus. I really like these stories. Grant Morrison is a great writer. You should pick it up. You'll never look at Santa Claus in the mall the same way again. Archie Comics is going to have two more Supernatural series based on Riverdale. They've already put out Afterlife with Archie, dealing with the zombies, and The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Oh, and they also had Jughead to Hunger and Vampironica. So they are no strangers to the horror genre. They are putting out two new ones, Blossoms 666, which is going to cover the two twins. One of the twins is the Antichrist. They don't know which twin it is. Even the twins don't know, but they both want that title. So that should be interesting. And then you have Jughead the Hunger versus Vampironica. Jughead the Hunger, he was a werewolf. And in Vampironica, Veronica was a vampire. Wow, sorry about that. So yeah, this one's going to put, it's going to be Jughead the Hunger versus Vampironica. It's going to be werewolves versus vampires. The first one, Blossom 666, is slated for January of 2019 with Jughead the Hunger versus Vampironica coming shortly after that in 2019. And here's this is the main title. I'm sure there'll be other covers. And here's what they're proposing is the cover for Jughead the Hunger versus Vampironica. If you're into Archie, and Archie's been really well written lately, and you like horror, two great things that go great together. This next comic is kind of weird. It's kind of out there. Freedom Fighters. It's from DC. It features they're calling it an all-new, all-different Hitler. I'm guessing that's kind of a dig at Marvel because they had their all-new, all-different line. And so DC figured they would try it. This is set on Earth X, a different dimension. And on Earth X, Germany won. And the Hitler family has been ruling the world ever since then. So Hitler's son is in power right now, and his grandson is kind of second in charge. Hitler's son's more pragmatic, while his son is just very brutal about how he does things. So they are trying to find the Freedom Fighters and snuff them out. And it's going to be a good play between, you know, Hitler's son and grandson. There's always this weird fascination with Hitler. People just love to make comic books with Hitler. This, I'm not sure. It's coming out in December. I'll probably read the first one, Freedom Fighters number one, just to see what it's all about. I don't know if it's going to be enough shock value just to have Hitler and his sons to sell this book. They're going to have to actually have a good story to keep people interested past number one. We'll find out in December. Death of Inhumans. Number four, this is going to be some spoilers. If you don't want spoilers, you're in the wrong place. They have been killing off tons of... The Kree came back to Adalon, and they killed off almost all the Inhumans except for the royal family. They used a superior Inhuman named Vox to go through, and he's just been supposedly wiping out the royal family. Come to find out, not really. What you thought was them disintegrating was actually them being teleported. So they're collecting them, and Vox is really, they thought Maximus was dead. It was, Vox was Maximus. The problem is, Vox is not really a person, it's programming. So they just throw that programming on any of the Inhumans and use them as their enforcer. So, I mean, you go and you see, they got, you recognize Triton right away in the little tube there, plus some other Inhumans. So that they're transporting them, the Kree are transporting them somewhere else and keeping them in labs. Don't know why. The Inhumans probably would have been wiped out if it wasn't for the help of one dude here, Beta Ray Bill. He stepped in and helped them defeat Vox. And that's when they found out Vox was actually Maximus. So we won't know probably till the next issue why the Kree were doing this. I mean, the Kree, if you don't know your history, invented the Inhumans anyway. Now they came back and they were just kind of trying to wipe out their science experiment, I guess. So we will find out soon why the Kree are throwing all the Inhumans in this lab thingy, keeping them under wraps. Are they, I don't know, maybe they're trying to make them a master Inhuman. Don't know, we'll find out. Okay, Apocalypse, a big X-Men villain. They are, and you saw, if you didn't see the movie, he kind of incorporates a lot of the other mutants' abilities into his own. The X-Men Black Series, which is going to be a whole bunch of one-shots. The first one came out Wednesday, New Comic Book Day. It was X-Men Black Magneto. I guess they're going to have one chapter in each one of those one-shots dealing only with Apocalypse. He tries to recruit this unnamed, unknown mutant as one of his horsemen. That guy, kind of refuses and fights back, and something happens and a wave of some kind of energy washes over him. Next thing Apocalypse knows, he's been transported to some other place, and it appears this beast monster comes out of nowhere. He has to fight him. He can't use his powers. His powers are refusing to work for him. In fact, toward the end of the issue, you can see he's starting to degenerate back into human form. His hand is degenerating back into human form, and he's not able to use his powers. So the next one, like it says here, the story continues October 10th, which is next Free Comic Book Day, with the next one-shot X-Men Black Mojo. Mojo's an interesting character in himself. He runs the Mojoverse, which is basically a universe that is ran by reality TV. He's going around trying to recruit all these mutants to fight on his reality TV shows. That's how we got Longshot. If I remember correctly, Shatterstar also. So yeah, pick up the X-Men Black series. You won't be disappointed. And especially with the side stories for Apocalypse. Okay, Nightwing. Dick Grayson. Not going by Dick anymore. If you haven't been keeping up with Nightwing, he got shot in the head by KG Beast, sniper rifle, outside Gotham City Police Department. It didn't kill him, but as happens sometimes with head injuries, it changed... Dick Grayson's personality quite drastically. Now he's pretty much a hedonist. He still is a little heroic. You know, he'll help people, but his main thing is he'll break in people's houses now to steal stuff. He's hanging out in bars with seedy characters. Barbara Gordon is trying to help him, get him to remember. He doesn't remember. He doesn't really care to remember. It goes so far as he torched his subway headquarters, burning all of his old costumes, and the whole headquarters just burned it down. He doesn't want anything to do with that past because he doesn't remember it. That doesn't mean the villains he beat up in the past don't want revenge. You know, Scarecrow's there trying to find him to get his pound of flesh from Dick, who is now going by Gray or Rick. I guess that's his more edgy name. So yeah, Nightwing is getting really interesting, especially with the, they don't show a picture of the scar here, but he's got a scar on the side of his head from the shot. We don't know how long he's going to stay in this personality. I kind of like it. It's more of a Jason Todd type Robin, Batman sidekick. Should be good. I just hope they don't end it too quick. I like bad boy Dick Grayson. All right, they've been teasing this for a while now. Jon Favreau working on a Star Wars show for their live streaming, or not live stream, for their streaming service. We finally have a title and a small synopsis. It is going to be called The Mandalorian. Don't get too excited, though. It's not going to be Boba Fett or Jango Fett. It's actually going to be set after 30 years, is in the 30-year space between Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens. So the First Order hasn't been set up and established yet. That's the time it's dealing with on this. You're going to see, I mean, this is obviously a picture of Boba Fett because we don't have any pictures for the new armor they're going to use in this series. This alone should be enough to get a lot of people to jump on the Disney streaming service. The Mandalorians are one of the more popular characters in the Star Wars universe. I know the Mandalorian Costuming Club is going to be pretty hyped about this. It's going to give them more costumes that are actually canon, film-approved type stuff that they can make recognizable. There's not a lot of recognizable Mandalorian characters that are actually named. I mean, there's some from the Clone Wars and, you know, Jango and Boba. But there's just a handful of them. Now you're going to get even more, or at least one more. And it's rumored that Pedro Pascal, the dude who played Viper on Game of Thrones, he's cast for it. We just don't know what the role is, but the speculation is he's going to be that lone Mandalorian. He's a great actor. I think that it's a good choice. Chronicles of Narnia. Big, I can't remember how many books are in that series. There's a ton. I've read them. Really good. Everybody wants to cry about religious undertones in the books. I didn't see it. You can find religious undertones in any story if you look far enough and deep enough. I didn't really see. I didn't care. I just liked the stories. We got a couple movies out of it, and now Netflix has picked it up. They're going to be adapting C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia for TV and film. So that the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which is the one most people are familiar with, I'm sure it's probably going to be first. But yeah, there's a whole series about Narnia and different characters through Narnia. But they keep coming back to that, you know, those four kids, but there are other characters. And Netflix is going to be exploring them. Yeah, the series here says that Chronicles of Narnia sold over 100 million copies. That's a lot. That's a lot of books. 47 different languages. So look forward to seeing more of Narnia on Netflix. DC Universe, another streaming service there, they have cast someone for the voice of Harley Quinn. And good timing too, because she's going to be losing her job on Big Bang Theory here at the end of the season. This last season for Big Bang. Kelly Cuoco will be the new voice for Harley Quinn and the DC Universe streaming service. And as always, you know, DC has to poke at Marvel. They said at New York Comic Con, you know, it's got comedy, violence, and unlike that Deadpool show, it's actually coming out. And they're referring to the Deadpool animated show that was going to have Donald Glover in it. It was supposedly, the pilot was really good, and for some reason just never got picked up. On FX, yeah. So yeah, you know, they had to poke. They love to poke fun at Marvel, and Marvel pokes fun back at them. Also, we see Jason Alexander has been cast for this, and Christopher Maloney. We don't know what roles they're playing, but they are two very recognizable voices. I can't wait to give DC some more of my money so I can get that streaming service and check out Harley Quinn. All right, we've been asking for this forever. Everybody wants to see Lobo, the main man. It's not in a movie, but it's pretty close. He's going to be in Krypton Season 2. If you didn't watch Krypton, it's basically Superman before Superman. It's Superman's grandfather, great grandfather. I don't know, way back in his lineage, back on Krypton. I was pleasantly surprised with Krypton. It was an enjoyable watch. So season one, we got introduced to Brainiac. Season two, they're bringing in Lobo. They cast Emmett J. Scanlon to be Lobo, the dude right here in the corner. No date on when it's going to premiere. There's no other pictures of him as Lobo. Lobo, I usually picture being a lot buffer, more muscular. But, you know, they can always put, I guess, a muscle suit on him or something. Lobo, very, very iconic character. There's so many fanboys on Lobo that they better do this right or they're going to be deluged on Twitter and all their social medias about how they screwed it up. So we will see Lobo on Krypton Season 2. Speaking of other casting choices, we've already told you Birds of Prey has Margot Robbie, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, and Journey Smollett-Bell. They've cast someone for Renee Montoya, Rosie Perez. That's right, from White Men Can't Jump. That's probably where you know her. I'm sorry, Do the Right Thing, Rosie Perez. And White Men Can't Jump. I was right, yeah. So Rosie Perez is playing Renee Montoya, who is a Gotham City police detective who, for a short time there, was actually the Question. Don't know if she's going to be the Question in Birds of Prey. It's unclear. But Renee Montoya is a pretty, you know, special character in the DC Universe. It's a recognizable name. We will find out. It's coming out in theaters February 7th of 2020. Wow. So, yeah, we got over a year and a half to wait for this. Okay. I guess I can wait. Just know that we're going to see Renee Montoya in Birds of Prey with Rosie Perez playing her. Speaking of Disney, they are doing more live action stuff. They are now going to do a Lilo and Stitch live action remake. I'm kind of torn on that. I loved the cartoon. I thought it was excellent. Lilo and Stitch. Stitch is such a great iconic character. Very cutesy, lovable, but also can hold his own in a fight. It's going to be a mix, of course, of live action and CGI because Stitch and all the other aliens that you're going to encounter, costumes just aren't going to cut it. They're going to have to CGI them in, a la Roger Rabbit, I guess. Except now they've advanced a little bit on their CGI. I don't know. I'm still torn. They're also talking about doing Aladdin. An Aladdin live-action remake. Wow. I can't really say much because Jungle Book I was skeptical about with Jon Favreau. But man, I love that live-action. I think they did a great job. They changed it up, but not so much that you didn't recognize it or like the story. So I'm hoping, crossed fingers, that Lilo and Stitch live-action remake is good. Don't ruin Stitch for me, Disney. Let's jump over to the collectibles area. Lego is just pumping out these new sets. I've been showing you all the Star Wars sets they put out already in the big Harry Potter Hogwarts one. They are now putting out another. This one isn't one of their huge ones, but it's not small. I think it's over 1,000 pieces. 1,060. It's Vader's castle. This is Darth Vader's castle he built on the planet Mustafar, which, if you remember right, that's the planet, the volcano lava planet, where he got his arms and legs cut off. And it was also very strong with Sith force, so he built his castle on top of an old Sith cave. This set, it's 75251, Vader's castle, about $130. It comes with some figures, and it's got 1, 2, 3, 4 different levels, plus the advanced TIE fighter there. Let's see, here's a list. 5 minifigures, Darth Vader and the back of the tank, which is the tank he sits in, you know, the liquid tank to help regenerate his torn up body. 2 Royal Guards and an Imperial Transport Pilot. You got the advanced TIE fighter, you got the underground hangar, mouse droid, docking station, what have you, Sith relic, secret compartments, lightsabers, side access door, back to tank. The TIE fighter, you can actually, it has firing, you can shoot the little stud shooters that fire off of it. You can open up the cockpit and put a minifigure in there. That's kind of cool. You got his red lightsaber. The guards all have pistols. It measures 16 inches high, 11 inches wide, 9 inches deep. The TIE fighter is over 2 inches tall, 4 inches wide, and 3 inches long. It's a nice set. It's a good one to add to your Star Wars Lego collection. Here's the back to tank right here I was telling you about. If you want to make your own little diorama of Star Wars stuff, you got to have Vader's castle. All right, dudes, that is the last article that I have for you guys today. Ooh, let me maximize myself. I'm going to take up the whole screen because I'm greedy that way. And let me pull over here to the left. Go up a little. All right. As always, thank you guys for watching. Please subscribe to this YouTube channel. Mash that bell icon to be notified whenever I put up a new video. And if you're one of my auditory-only friends on podcasts, subscribe to me on your favorite podcast platform. I will see you tomorrow. Later, nerds.